everyone. We're in Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Bridget, if you could kill all the lights except for the one shining off my bald head here, that'll be good. Gives me that special glow, spiritual feeling. I'm in the process of yard training my dog. That means that I'm teaching her how to stay in the yard without use of a fence and so on. Just using voice commands to get her to do what I'd like her to do. And this whole process is predicated upon two facts. First of all, she wants to be with me. Can't lose that dog. And second of all, she wants to please me. When she wanders off into one of the neighbor's yards, I just give her a good stern no. And she'll stop and she'll look at me. And all I have to do in order to discipline her is say, bad girl. Oh, it really reverberates through. And when I want to reward her, all I really have to do is say, good girl. She loves to hear that from me. That little tail goes waggling and so on. The other day, we were in the backyard, and I told her, time to go to the house. I walked around the corner. She wasn't following me. So I stood there for a while, and I was in a great consternation. I wanted to go back to see what she was doing, but at the same time, I knew this was a critical moment in her training. She was given a clear command, and now she was going to have to make a choice to obey. If she wanted to stay off the leash in the yard, she was going to have to get with the program. I waited for what seemed like an eternity, but then she came busting around the corner to catch up to me. I hope you see where this is going already. We're talking about discipleship, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the process is predicated on two things. First of all, our desire to be with Jesus, and secondly, our desire to please Him. If either one of those things isn't true in your life, this message is not for you. Go ahead and you're free to go. Go about your business, finish up your Christmas shopping or whatever else you need to do. But if these things are true, if Jesus has captured your heart, your admiration, if He has become your hero, then discipleship naturally happens. If you want the Lord, if you love the Lord. Anything else beyond that is just rules and duty, and who wants that? But if there's a desire in your heart to be with Him, there's a great life opening up right in front of you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. Father, that's what we want this morning, is a right heart. Would you help do heart surgery today? Some of us, we have a right heart, but there's been some blockages, some things have gotten in the way, and that needs cleared out. We need to be healthy spiritually once again. Some people, they've just always been on the outside looking in, or they've been on the inside looking out. They're in the church, but they want out. They're being obedient to the basic commands of God, but they'd rather not. And Lord, what we are hoping for, what we're praying for this morning, is a turnaround of our heart. To be looking in and saying, oh Lord, this is what I've wanted all along. You really are the prize of life. So through your word and through your spirit today, I pray you do that surgery on us. Do that spiritual circumcision. It cuts away the excess flesh and brings us in close to you. And we'll thank you for that help today in Jesus' name. Amen. The first call of a disciple is to be with Jesus. The only real punishment that's necessary for a disciple is to know that he's not being pleasing to his Lord. Bad disciple. Bad disciple. The greatest reward any disciple could ever have is to know that the Lord is pleased with him. Good girl, good boy, you're doing a, a right job. Jesus called his first disciples, and they left everything behind in order just to be with him. Come, follow me. John chapter 1 tells us the account of when Andrew first met Jesus. He met him and then spent the rest of the day with Jesus. And I thought that was neat because Jesus is already popular. He's already much in demand. He's a busy guy. But when he met a disciple, he spent time with that person. That person spent time with him, time with Jesus. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 says that he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, that they might be with him. In our text, Jesus called them to follow him and said they would become fishers of men. Any ministry that bears fruit begins with this first call. The first call of a disciple is to be with Jesus. Any ministry a disciple does is an outgrowth of time they spent. You can't do anything without Jesus. Anything birthed in self-effort, just tried. Often we're trying to please God. The way you please God is to start by being with him, paying attention, listening to what he has to say. Ministry is a natural consequence of hanging out with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, you have something to share with people who are around you. When ministry is an extension of your relationship with Jesus, it just flows powerfully through us. Otherwise, it's just this duty we perform, this thing we do. We feel guilty. We feel obligated. We have a duty as Christians, onward Christian soldiers. This is what you're supposed to do. This is your assignment for the day. And if it's just a work, it tends to drain us. We get tired of what we're doing in the kingdom of God. But if it's an extension of our time with Jesus, it fills us up rather than drains our tank. Remember when Jesus sent out the 12 and later the 72? He said, go into the nearby villages and heal the sick and cast out demons and preach the kingdom of God. They came back so excited. They were all on fire. They weren't tired. Oh, Lord, you didn't send us with an extra sandwich. You didn't. It was hard. We met a lot of ignorant people, and it was tough slogging the whole way through. It energized them. He sent them out to do a work. How many folk come home from work just excited? Oh, man, what a day's work. It was great. Oh, just couldn't. I begged them to let me pay, work a little more overtime, but they wouldn't let me. They said, no, you have to go home. Now, I cried the whole way home. I wanted to stay at work. Remember when Jesus ministered to the woman at the well? They were tired. Jesus sat down by the well while the guys went to get lunch. I think it was Subway they came back with. And Jesus said, nah, I've had food you don't know about. They said, well, he was ministering to this lady. And as he ministered to her, he felt strengthened. He felt fed by the encounter. And if you've ever ministered in Jesus' name, you can relate to that experience. It was great. It was good. You were giving out, but at the same time, you were being filled. Ministry birthed out of a relationship with Jesus will fill us up, not drain our tank. So if what you're doing in the Lord is wearing you out, there's something wrong somewhere. Maybe it's not what God wants you to do. Maybe it's what you think you should be doing. Or maybe the hose got pinched somewhere and that flow that was energizing you before, it's not coming through. You need oxygen to live. You need food, you need water, you need a source. And it's that's true in ministry. A lot of people start out in ministry and they're called of God, they're anointed, the Lord is working through them in a powerful way. But they get so busy, they lose connection with the head. And they lose that flow and that fellowship and that power. They're working harder than ever before, but the fruit is less. And even if the ministry is fruitful, they themselves are dying inside. The first call of every disciple is to be with Jesus. And that's why we get into ministry anyway. Oh, more of Jesus? Yes, I'm into that. But ministry can pinch. Ministry can demand. And when we lose that time with the Lord, we lose everything. There's no higher call in life than Jesus' call to be with Him. Do you hear Him calling this morning? Out of all the busyness, out of all the noise, out of all the expectations, you ever get a little jittery? There are just so many things to do in a day's time, you can't think straight. You don't know what to do first. You almost freeze. That happens to me sometimes. I think, oh, Lord, how in the world are we going to get it? You got to quit looking at the stuff that needs done. You need to get alone with God. You got to let the peace of the Lord, let that be the start of your day. I give the best part of my day to the Lord. This is where life begins. There's no higher call for you. But I got to this. I got to that. I got to. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie we tell ourselves. That's a lie the enemy tells us. If something happened to me today, life would go on. It wouldn't miss a beat. There's no higher call in life than to be with Jesus. We never graduate from that call. You never learned enough Bible that you don't need any more Bible. You never spent enough time in prayer that you don't need more prayer. It's a daily, it's fundamental. Be with Jesus. Far too many believers think the greatest thing is to get something done for Jesus. I will do something. I will build a foundation. I will get this checked off the list. God is a doer. I'm a doer. We've got to get things taken care of. They neglect quiet time alone with the Lord in order to squeeze in a few more duties, to spend a little bit more time with a couple more people. Let me see if we've got this yet. The greatest call in life is to be with Jesus. There's no higher call in life than Jesus' call to be with Him. Ministry born out of guilt, duty, or fear will produce very poor, if any, fruit. And that's when the body gets in trouble with the body. We start irritating one another rather than blessing one another. We get out of the anointing. We get out of the Spirit. I've got an agenda. This has to be done today. You don't understand. This is what's going on. Your primary call is to be with Jesus. So how are you doing on that? How are things between you and Jesus? How much time? How much do you enjoy being with Him? Do you just always get a twinge of guilt? I have to be careful because I never know who's listening online. The other day I used the illustration of my son-in-law bringing the family down in that soup can, you know, over New York, and he texted me afterwards about his soup can. But just to be with him. So I was thinking about my dad, and I should call my dad a lot more than I do. And so it gets out there to where I haven't called him for a while, and I should call Dad. But you haven't called. So I feel guilty. And once I feel guilty, I push it off a little bit further, you know. I don't know if anybody else is like that. And my sister said to me, just call him. Just call him. Just do it. Yeah. It works the same way with our Heavenly Father. Okay. All of us have had the experience of devotions ebb and flow. You're really good at it. You're in a sweet spot. Oh, it's so sweet. And then the next thing you know, well, how long has it been? You know, just get back to it right now. Get back to it today. Let there be good music playing in your home, in your car, in your heart. Spend some time with Him every opportunity that you get. Are you enjoying worship? Are you able to worship? Some of my friends aren't able to sleep. I feel sorry for them. I'm a good sleeper. God has blessed me with a gift of sleep. I can sleep all night long. I can sleep during the day. I can nap here or there. Give me 7 minutes. I could curl up on this and I'll be sound asleep and it wouldn't hurt my afternoon nap at all either. I just have a gift. But I feel for people who can't sleep. That's really hard. In the same way, I feel for people who can't worship. The music's there, the words are right. And you can have the best music in the world playing on your stereo system in your car or at home, and there may not be worship going on. You may be completely oblivious to the sound that's going on. It's still good to have that as background music, but there's a completely different thing between that and entering in and being of a worshipful spirit. How long has it been since you've worshiped? I mean, really unhooked everything in your heart and mind and entered in. While other people are entering, you are too. You might want to practice. If you're not doing so well in the sanctuary, which is probably the easiest place to worship, practice. Go home and practice worship. Just, okay, Lord, for the next little while. I've had to have those talks with myself. When I go into prayer, it's so often things bombard my mind. Oh, remember this, remember that. Don't forget. Sometimes I'll take a pen and just write, okay, if I need to remember that, I'll write that down, and I'll just put it in my pocket. Usually I just say, Lord, if it's important, will you remind me of that later? Will you keep me on time for that thing? I'm just going to trust that right now the most important thing in life is just you and me. And for the next little while, we're going to spend time together. Are you able to worship? Do you have conversations throughout the day with the Lord? Some of the conversations I have with God. He's got a great sense of humor. He catches me up quick so often. I hate to tell you this, but sometimes I get frustrated with little things. You know, you bump your elbow on something, you get that funny bone, you knock your head, these kinds of things. Oh, yeah, a little grumbly and so on. And a little talk with Jesus. Get it out of your system. Not complaining to Him, just, Lord, I'm sorry. There are people who can't stand up anymore. There are people who can't. I am blessed. And it's wonderful to see a grumbling spirit turn around to a thankful spirit. It's wonderful to allow the Holy Spirit to help you up out of that. I guess yesterday morning was a morning like that for me. I looked at my app, and the app said 44 degrees. I looked, there's no wind chill factor. 44 degrees in December is beautiful running weather. And so it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, this is great. So I just put on a T-shirt, and I got my reflective stuff on. I'm going to go out for my run. I stepped outside, and it's raining. The clouds are just spitting on me, and there's this breeze coming through. And I suppose, you know, so I was just a little grumbly. I didn't enjoy my run yesterday morning. And you know, I got to the gym afterwards, and I'm still just a little bit grumbly. And I was trying to praise my way through that. Well, you know what the Lord gave me? That was good discipline. That was good. Most runs are not that hard. And I got an extra amount of discipline in the morning. And turned my spirit around and had a much better day after that and so on. Have that talk, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. How's your conversational level with God these days, my friend? Can you talk to Him? What's He saying to you? Are you having a good time with the Lord? He's a great life partner. Peter and Andrew dropped everything in order to go be with Jesus. They were in the middle of a work day. They just dropped everything to be with Jesus. John clues us into the fact that they actually had, when they dropped these nets were full of fish. We see from glimpses in the gospel, they often fished and didn't get anything. That was their income. They were leaving money on the table in order to spend time with Jesus. He so attracted them. They didn't say, hey, we're off at 5. We'll see you then. Lord, this, we're looking at $783 worth of fish right here, right now. You know how we could use that on the mortgage. We'll be right with you. Money? Jesus. They chose Jesus. Come follow me. We're on it. They let go of everything else. And our thing may be money. It may be pleasing other people. It may be punching a time. Whatever it is. We need to get to a place where Jesus is the greatest thing that can happen in your life. Jesus compared finding the kingdom of God to a man finding a treasure buried in a field. He goes off and he sells everything. He buys that field so he can have that treasure. A lot of people look at the field we're living in, they don't see the treasure. Even though we point it out to them, they don't believe it. But when you found it, you know it. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, a merchant, a dealer with pearls. He finds this one. Oh, he knows pearls. This is the most perfect, beautiful pearl of all, the most expensive, the most valuable. He goes and sells all the rest of his collection and he buys this one. This one. That's what life is. Jesus is the most precious thing there can be. There are a lot of folk who have trinkets in their life. Oh, they're just fascinated with this and they're going after that. There are a lot of people who are part-time believers. A little bit of Jesus in their life. They certainly don't want to die without him and so on. Real life, real discipleship happens when you understand there's nothing more precious than Jesus. To know him, to be with him, to fellowship, to hear his voice, that's life itself. I want that Jesus. And you may be there. You may have been there in the past and say, I need to get back there. You may have never been there. The prayer would be, Lord, I want to want that. I don't right now really want that. I admit that to you. I'm taken by this and that in my life. I'm worried about this other thing going on. But I want to want you like that. I want to want you that you are the center of my life so much that I'd be willing to drop anything else. Just, I would like to have prayer times with you, God, that are so precious. I want to hear your voice. I want to speak your words. I want to become part of the, I want to do like Andrew and spend a day with you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. This call to be with him provides power in the face of any trial, support through your weakest moments, victory over every enemy. When you find Jesus, you find life. When you don't have life, you need to get the kink out of the hose. You need to make things right with God. Get the life flowing again. Stop doing things for Jesus and start doing things with Jesus. Does that make sense? Stop doing things for Jesus and start doing things with Jesus. And sometimes, do nothing other than just be with him. I like to have my hands busy. I like to do things. I like projects. It's a little bit hard for me to sit still without falling asleep. And learn to just be with Jesus a while, to enjoy Him. Lift up your voice and your hands in praise. Following Jesus is a transforming experience. These guys had been fishermen, and now they were going to fish for people. They were going to attract others into the kingdom. There was an old chorus when I was a teenager that was quite popular. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life. As a teenager, I used to sing that in faith because I was a mess. I was a Christian. I went to church and all that, but I just felt like an awkward mess. I had no talents. I had no bright. My older brother was so intelligent and was doing everything, you know, great guns. He was going to be a doctor or some great thing. And then there was me. And I just thought, oh, Lord, if you can do something with this life, it's totally yours. I just kept giving myself over and over again to God. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life. I'm so glad for the life I have lived, the life I am living now. But I remember those days very clearly. And you might be going through a broken period right now. Maybe things aren't making sense. Maybe you're just holding on for dear life. Keep holding. His promises are true. He's the one that comes through. There are no other guarantees in life. Everything else will disappoint you. All other ground is sinking sand. He didn't say the storms wouldn't come, but He said you'd still be standing when they're gone. And He'll be with you. He'll be with you. What these guys saw in Jesus, that Jesus would say, come follow me, they'd drop their nets and go. What they saw in Him, others would see in them. Come, I will make you. I'm out fishing for men this morning. I caught a few. Okay, now you're going to catch some. You've never attracted people before. Fishermen were on the low scale of society. They were not the movers and the shakers. They were seen as dumb, as ordinary, necessary to the economy, I suppose. But they stank. They smelled like fish. I'm gonna attract people through you. Are you serious? Yeah, that's not possible. That never happened before. That's not who we are. Come, follow me. Be with Jesus, and Jesus will make you attractive to others for the kingdom's sake. They left fishing careers behind in order to become some of the most important people that have ever lived. Boy, just imagine if they just stayed at their nets and said, well, you know, I really need this catch. You know, the family's counting on me, and I can't go today. Never heard of them. But the ones who left the nets, we know them very well. Peter, James, and John. Andrew, Nathaniel, Levi, and so on. They spent time with Jesus. They sat at His feet while He taught. They listened to Him as they walked from one place of ministry to another. Jesus will transform you into a person who will make a real difference in other people's lives. He'll use what you have. Take what you've got. Do amazing things. Who do you think's busier? You or God? Whose time would you say is more valuable? Creator, sustainer of the universe, or you? He has agreed to take time to spend with you. He has agreed to take time to spend with you. We see people line up to see their sports hero, to get an autograph. I don't know how many football fans we have here, but Thursday night football, the Baltimore Ravens played the New York Jets. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for Baltimore, is a gift. He's a once-in-a-lifetime player. I don't think he belongs to the Baltimore Ravens. I think he belongs to all of us. He's just amazing to see, a real talent. After the game, the Jets players lined up to get his autograph. Isn't that wild? The professional, they were trying to trade jerseys with him. As one commentator said, who wants a Jets jersey? You know, but he was being kind and signing the autographs and so on. Jesus will transform you into a person who will make a real difference in other people's lives. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Are you open to that? Is that your heart's desire? Disciples observed how Jesus ministered to others, listened to his teaching, and did their best to please him in everything they did. They just, let's follow him. Let's learn. And they asked him, teach us how to pray. We want to pray like you pray, Jesus. We want to minister to others like you minister to others. We want to do everything like you do. A true disciple invests his time and abilities in soaking in Jesus' commands and presence. Spend some time. Spend some time. We're so busy. And then we've got these little sponges. Any time that's left up, we're uncomfortable with dead time. So we play games on our devices. Or we look things up. Watch YouTube. Find out something other. Can you believe that that's a device of the enemy? The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. And this generation cannot be still, not for a moment. Not without a device in their hand, not without something going on. And you and I, we fall prey to it. Even if we don't know how the device works, we hand it to the kids or the grand. Here, this will keep you busy while I'm cooking dinner. This will occupy you so I can take care of it. And there's always things going off and moving and when I play games, you know what I play? Solitaire. There's nothing going. It's nice and calm. There's another card. Where does that go? Yeah, I'm old. I like to sleep. You know, I know. Be still and know that I am God. Invest your time soaking in Jesus' commands. Have some time that nothing else is welcome there. The devices are not welcome there. You and God, you and the Word, soaking it in. Study. Take notes in church. Spend time with Jesus every day. Spend that time. He's cleared his schedule for you. Clear your schedule for him. The clearest way to hear God's voice is to read his Word. Nothing replaces the Bible. Read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. It has been my habit for some time to go cover to cover. Start Genesis 1:1, end up in the book of Revelation, start all over again. I think I get through it about once a year, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But there's no greater education you will ever get than reading the Word of God. I read through all the begets. I read through all the stuff. Some days are better than others. But others have different plans. They read a psalm. They read a proverb. They read out of the New Testament every day. They read a chapter of Old Testament. Read a chapter. Get a plan. Work a plan. Get in the Word of God. The clearest way to hear God's voice is to read his Word. Take note of how the Lord did things. How did he interact with other people? What are the prayers that he prayed? What did he ask for? What did he tell people to do? How did he respond when people came at him? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Do you know what that means? It basically means God is open for business. Get ready to meet God. He's here. And you and I, that's our ministry now. We go tell everybody else, God's open for business. You have a problem? You struggling with something? God's open for business. Could we pray right now? I have a friend that met him at the Y. He had a job interview, and it would involve him moving up north and so on and so forth. He said, "Hey, Joel, would you say a prayer for me? I've got this interview coming." I said, "Well, why don't we pray right now?" And so right there in the middle of the hallway, and you really felt the Holy Spirit there with us. And he said, "Thank you so much. I appreciate that." God is open for business. Business is booming all around us. Don't forget to hang out your sign. How many people do we come in contact with every day? They're hurting. They've got a need, but we're not letting them know, hey, God is open for business. This can be a booth right here, right now. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to wait to call a prayer line. We can do this right now. You spend time with God, then allow the Holy Spirit to work through you in the people that you come in contact with. Jesus isn't here just to meet needs. He's here to transform our lives. He called you a long time ago because he loves you. And he wasn't all concerned about what you're going to do for him. He just wanted you. He just wanted you. And he still does. Sometimes we get this idea that God wants to go save all these sinners, which he does. That's really important to him. But you are every bit as important to him as any one of them are. In fact, if you got lost, he'd leave the 99 and he'd come find you again. You're still so precious to him. Is he still precious to you? Despite whatever else you're going through, however dark it's gotten, does your heart still pump a little harder when you feel his presence close? Would you stand with me this morning?